Hey, it's Charlie from Connection. You know, it's what's in the heart that matters. It's the heart that determines what we do, much more than the way we think. God promises that if we worship Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. The problem is, those desires have been bent and distorted by sin. At the very center of our effort to follow Jesus is how are we to shape those desires to love what God loves in the priority order that He loves them. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks at Connection. I hope that you will join us as we figure out what comes from the heart. So when I was in seminary, I decided I wasn't busy enough, so I got my real estate license. Didn't have enough study, and I thought I'd pass the Florida license exam and do that. I sold real estate to help pay my way through seminary. And the years that I went to seminary and did this were 7, 8, 9-ish. So if you know anything about that day in history, that was the housing market crash. My lovely listing presentation was, would you like to not be foreclosed on? Sign here. You know what I mean? And so I would basically help folks avoid foreclosure. You help one person avoid foreclosure, they tell their friends. That was my marketing strategy, right? So, and at the same time, I'm studying the ontological distinction of being at seminary, you know, or something incredible. And then going to class, between classes, and calling these banks and all this stuff. But the housing market was crazy back then. They were trading houses like Tic Tacs. You know what I mean? Like, the bank would loan money to whoever, because they knew the house would be worth 25% more in 6 weeks. And so they weren't worried. And that works as long as that's true. And so they're loaning money. My bank friend over there is laughing about this. So they're loaning money to people who probably should not have gotten loans or dollar amounts that they should not have gotten, because they're like, if they default, we'll foreclose and get more money than we gave them. And so the banks went crazy. And of course, purchasers went crazy. Like, I can buy a $300,000 house instead of a $200,000 house? Sweet. You know what I mean? My first client was a real estate agent who was in default on 5 houses. He had failed because he had like bought one. It got it more expensive, had more value 2 months later. He bought another one and he bought another one, which is great unless you don't have tenants paying those. I helped him try to sell all 5. 3 of them we sold, 2 of them got foreclosed on because the market went south on all that plan and on all that greed and on all that financial wealth. My dad tried to buy a house in December of 2004. It was worth $300. He came back in January. It was $375. It was crazy. People who had no business being in real estate were like, I want some of that. Everybody was in, you know? Because, if I buy a house and before I even make a payment, I can resell it. It was crazy. Greed was everywhere. And we've been talking, last week I set this up and I said, we're going to talk about how Jesus said that it's what comes from your heart that matters. Not necessarily what's going on around you, not what you take in, but it's what is going on inside of your heart that reveals you from the heart. Now, that desire to make some money is not evil. The desire to launch a new real estate career when the market is hot, there's nothing wrong with that. To have a career and to have a high salary and to pursue a high salary is not in and of itself evil. In fact, I would say God made us to feel and pursue those things. Now, you hear all the time, rich people stole from somebody else. It's evil. It's not evil to have stuff, because God created us with a drive. He gave us a cultural mandate in the garden that said, fill the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over everything. I have given you everything to steward, to care for, to be in the garden and work it. It's how we were designed to be ambitious. Our hearts were designed to take things and make it beautiful. We were designed like our Creator, in our image of our Creator, to creatively order things. Now, God can go, let there be light. For us, it takes a lot more work, right? But math is the creative ordering of numbers. the wonderful music you just heard, the creative ordering of sound. In other words, everything that we do, whatever our career is, whatever our passion is we are taking what's chaotic and creating order and prosperity and helping it grow. That's not wrong. You can get a good deal on real estate and make some money. That's not wrong. The problem is, if that's where the story stopped, everything would be wonderful. We'd all be like, hey, I got this great career and it's easy, it's wonderful. But we also know the rest of the story is the fall, right? That a heart's desire for dominion, a heart's desire for growth, a heart's desire to make an income and provide security for your family gets bent by the fall. And so a misdirected desire for stuff becomes greed. 5 houses. That one appreciated. Let's go for number 6 in a month. Right? We're not talking about like a long-term thing. We're talking about how many houses can I buy as fast as possible? I don't have enough. I want more. A desire for growth and dominion and caring and doing and cultivating gets bent towards I want as much as possible, and the person with the most toys wins. The Bible calls that greed, right? But having those possessions and having those desires for growing and getting more is not what's wrong. There's this famous quote, money is the root of all evil. By the way, that's a misquote. That's from the Bible, by the way. But the Bible actually says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself. I've got money. I'm evil. By the way, you live in the United States. By the rest of the world standards, you're rich. Are you greedy? No. 2 TVs, you're rich. 2 cars, you're rich. Does that mean you love money? Not necessarily. So what's evil is the love of possession, the love of money more than God. 6 houses instead of Jesus is greed. 6 houses, not wrong. 6 houses more important than God, idolatry. Does that make sense? And so in other words, our hearts are directed in a God-given passion for be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it and to have dominion over what he's given us to have dominion over. But sin makes us take it too far. And that wrong desire comes from here too because we're fallen. So it's not evil to be rich, but it is wrong or sinful to love everything you have more than other things. Luke chapter 12 is our passage today. This is starting in verse 13. Someone in the crowd to him said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me as judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist of its abundance or possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store all of my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up for themselves, but are not rich towards God." So it's not evil to have stuff. In fact, God doesn't even get mad at this guy because he has wealth. He really doesn't. He doesn't say, "You fool, you're rich, therefore you're going to lose all your stuff." What does he harp on? he harps on the fact of verse 19 where it says, soul, I now have plenty. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. It's not the stuff. It's that he relied on the stuff. He placed his faith and his trust in the stuff. He worshiped it and built bigger altars to his stuff. Isn't that an old George Carlin comedy routine? Build more houses for more stuff, right? So he says, it's not that he's evil because he has possession. In fact, if our desire to have more stuff is to start with, is because God made us to do that. I want straight A's. I want a career. I want to take care of my family, is honorable. But that gets distorted by the fall. Then, of course, like anything else, God has a plan to redeem that desire. Does that make sense? You see, when we talk about the gospel, and I talked about this some last week, when you think about the gospel as you're an evil person who needs a savior, love Jesus and everything will be okay, that's true, but it's a limited perspective because it ignores how you were designed and made. Because if you take just part two and part three, then rich people are evil because they love money too much. They need Jesus. People created in God's image aspire to have dominion, be fruitful, and multiply, and care for the world, and move it forward from garden to city. We get it wrong sometimes. Therefore, we need Jesus to redeem it. And so what God did was he set this up. It's why we have this lovely spiritual discipline called giving. Oh, no, it's a giving sermon. It's still a from-the-heart sermon. In other words, what giving does is redeems our over-desire for stuff. Two ways. First of all, if you can't give it up, you probably love it too much. Because you may say, I'm not greedy. I make a decent salary. I do this. I'm good. But I'm not greedy about it. I don't love it too much. And the pastor goes, tithe. Maybe you do. What the discipline of giving does is it gives you a check to your heart that says, do you love it more than me? Are you willing to give? Or is this where you're placing your peace and your faith and your rest like the rich dude in the story? Now, that doesn't mean, because there's actually a passage of scripture where this guy comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to be saved? To which Jesus says, honor your father and mother, keep the Sabbath, blah, 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 blah. He gives him a few commandments, and the guy looks at Jesus. Now, I would never be able to do this. Look at Jesus and go, I've kept all those. Who could look at Jesus and go, yeah, I've kept 6 through 10. I'm perfect that way. You know what I mean? So he looks at him and says, I've kept all those. What else do I do? And Jesus says, take everything you have, sell it, give it to the poor, and come follow me. If Jesus said that to you, would you go, oh. I mean, I would. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow Jesus. Now, is that a universal command? Are you supposed to go home tomorrow and empty everything out, all your bank accounts, sell all your houses, all your possessions, and just go to church? Is that what that story is saying? Of course not, right? That would be weird. But why would he say that to that guy? Because Jesus knew that the wealth he had was more important to him than God. And so Jesus' question is the same check in the spirit. Are you willing to give up everything to follow me? Are you willing to let it go, what God's given you, in order to follow me? The rest of that story is the guy goes, yeah, not doing that, and walks away sad, it says. In other words, he may have kept 6 through 10. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet. He may have kept all that, but he broke 1 and 2. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not have other things that you worship more than me. The Bible calls them idols. And when Jesus asks him the question, give up your money, and he goes, the idol of his heart was revealed. Having it didn't make him evil. his unwillingness to give it up did. Does that make sense? And so the question becomes giving, the reason we give, the reason we tithe, the reason we give to charity, the reason we give to church is because it is a spiritual discipline that shapes our heart towards the willingness to give up stuff. It's not the command to give away absolutely everything. It is a shaping of a heart that's willing to give away absolutely everything. And you could apply that to anything. If you had that conversation with Jesus about anything, and he said, will you give this up to follow me? And you go, the chances are it's an idol. And so he gives us the spiritual discipline of giving to remind us it all belongs to him anyway. In the story, he goes, who's going to get all of this stuff that you piled up? That's what it says. I'm going to call your life today. Who's getting all this stuff? It all belongs to God anyway. The second part of this is that some people, frankly, are blessed at making money. Have you met them? You could give some people, there are guys in this world or girls in this world that are walking around. If you gave them $100, Friday they have 10 grand. that's just how they're wired. You know them. They've always got a side hustle. They've always got a project. They bought Zoom in March. You know what I mean? There are people in this world that know how to turn $1 into $5. They're wired that way. Is it possible that God gifted them that way so that they could be a blessing to other people? In other words, if you've been blessed by possession, by career, by ambition, by income, by giving, by whatever it is that you've been blessed by when it comes to wealth and possessions, it's entirely possible God wired you that way so that you could be a blessing to other people. Because if you are gifted at making money, but you don't love it so much that you're greedy, and you practice the discipline of giving, then God is redeeming all of that money that's supposed to be evil through the way you manage it. And not only is he redeeming that, we get to participate in the restoration of the world. You see, God didn't go, okay, when you become a Christian, you're going to go poof and be in heaven. Some of us wish that were true, right? Can I pray the prayer right now? I'm out of here. That'd be great. The rest of the world would be in trouble if all the Christians went poof. But it's not instantaneous at the moment that you pray the prayer. Why? Because God has work for us to do. And that work is the restoration of all things. And so it's not evil to be blessed with stuff. It's not sinful to have income that's high. It's sinful not to steward it and not to be a blessing to others. Being generous, practicing giving in whatever shape it looks like. And by the way, this is not really about just money either, is it? If you are blessed with musical gifts, like our team, and you never pick up an instrument, are you stewarding a gift given to you? If you're an accountant that's amazing, and you're blessed with the ability to order numbers in such a way that we all go, wow, but you decide you're not going to do that, are you stewarding the gift God gave you? Remember, that's how we're made, is to be creative and to take this somewhere. And sin gets in the way. And so God gives us spiritual disciplines that shape our heart back in the direction it was intended to go. And so the foil to greed is generosity. The spiritual practice of giving is a counterpunch to I want more. Both are heart desires. I want more comes from the heart. Giving shapes the desire to be generous with what God's given me. And so it redeems this desire to grow that's been bent by sin and to acquire and to build bigger barns and to tear the barns down. The guy didn't mess up with bigger barns. He messed up because he was not blessing those around him, but just building bigger and bigger stuff and holding it to himself. And then looking at himself in the mirror and going, "You've got everything you need. You're awesome." That's what he says in the verse, basically. He's like, "Soul, you've got all that you need. Eat, drink, and be merry." This rich fool, the Bible calls him. The error was not having the stuff. The error was what he did with the stuff. Jesus is concerned with what comes from our heart. There's another passage that says this. When I used to do fundraising, this was always one of my favorites to pull out. "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Think about that. Where you treasure, where you put your attention, where you put your love, where you put your greatest desire, that is where your heart is. Jesus says, that's not supposed to be here among stuff. It's supposed to be directed this way. The spiritual discipline of giving helps us do that, helps us redeem our own broken desire for greed, so that we can then become partners in building the kingdom of God. It all belongs to Him anyway. We're just borrowing it and redirecting it. Our intelligence, our income, our talents, our gifts, our family, our energy and time. Remember, sleep is a spiritual discipline. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Right? You can tie that back in. If you're rested, then you can be fruitful and have dominion and grow things so that you can bless other people. Get good sleep. So that you can bless others because God's blessed you. The snooze button's a blessing. Yes. That job you have is a blessing. That talent you have is a blessing from God. You are creatively ordering something. Are you doing it for yourself? Or are you doing it for Him and for the restoration of the world? That's the difference between me and the guy in the story and the rich young ruler who asked Jesus, "What else do I have to do?" and being a disciple who is living a life of worship following Jesus. It's not money that's evil. It's loving money or possessions or even sleep more. That's about Sunday morning, isn't it? Loving sleep more than going to church. Whoops. Snooze button, not a blessing. Right? What do you love most? That's what Jesus asked the rich young ruler. "Sell everything you have and come follow me." Rich young ruler says, "I can't do that," because he loved that more. Do you love your spouse more than Jesus? Do you love your income more than Jesus? Do you love your season tickets? Oops. Your season tickets more than Jesus? What are you willing to give up so that the kingdom of God could be advanced, so that others might be blessed? And people will look at the church and go, they're willing to do anything for us. Instead of being known for, I don't think we can help. Being known for, look how big our new church building is. Or is what we have given so the whole world could know Jesus. Let's pray. God, I pray that everything you have given us, from the air that we breathe, to the money that we make, to the job that we have, to the brain in our heads, are tools of restoration for you. That we would not be the guy in the story that said, "How much bigger can I grow this? How much more can I have so that I won't have to worry about anything?" God, my prayer is that the prayer of our hearts, the attitude of our hearts, but be more like, what can we do for your glory, God? What can we do to demonstrate to the world that the world matters more than what we have and what we are? Lord, help us to practice a discipline of generosity with everything that we have, so that the world may know how much you sacrificed for us. Redeem our hearts, transform our hearts, make us a generous people. In Christ's name, amen.